with all dispatch. Written by Alexander Kent and read by Michael Jaston.
Therefore, with courage bold, boys, let us venture. Like noble hearts of gold, now freely enter your names on board the fleet, all friends forsaking, that we may soon complete this undertaking. Anon. Chapter 1. A King's Officer. Rear Admiral Sir Marcus Drew stood to one side of a window and idly watched the comings and goings of people and carriages outside the Admiralty. Like the other windows in his spacious room, it was tall and broad, and enabled him to distinguish the passers-by from the more regular visitors who daily, hourly even, thronged the Admiralty corridors in search of employment. Captains, young and not so young, some of whose exploits had once brought pride and hope to an England at war. Seeing the most persistent applicants, and having his subordinates turn the majority away, took much of the Admiral's time. He studied some puddles in the road left by a sudden shower. Now they shone like pale blue silk, reflecting the April sky, while the clouds receded across London. For this was spring, 1792, another year of uncertainty and threats of danger from across the Channel. But you would not think as much to watch the ladies in their frivolous gowns and bright colours, with their carefree, posturing escorts. 2 years back, when news of the bloody revolution in France had hit London like a broadside, many had feared that the butchering, the murderous mobs and their guillotines would somehow spread their horror across the Straits of Dover. Others, naturally enough perhaps, had found comfort in their old enemy's terrible change of circumstances. It might have been better if England had put aside the rules of war for once, and attacked the French when they were caught in their own turmoil. But that had not even been considered. Drew turned away. His day, and the thought of dining later on in St. James's, with some whist afterwards, turned sour. Their lordships of Admiralty expected miracles if they imagined that the fleet, left to rot in harbours and estuaries for most of the 10 years since the American Revolution, could suddenly be rebuilt to anything approaching its old strength. Thousands of seamen and marines had been thrown on the beach, unwanted by a nation for which so many had died or been maimed in the King's name. Officers, too, left on half pay if they were lucky, begging for berths in the merchant service, trying to return to the sea, which had been their chosen life. Rear Admiral Drew was nevertheless content with his own lot. There was even the promise of a mistress on a permanent basis, now that he had managed to obtain an appointment for her husband, a young captain, in the East Indies. He stared hard at a huge painting on the opposite wall. It depicted Admiral Vernon's 70-gun flagship Burford, with all flags flying, her broadside battering a Spanish fortress, the Iron Castle at Portobello, at almost point-blank range. It was how the public, the romantics, liked to imagine a sea fight, he thought. No blood, no terror of a surgeon's blade, just the majesty of battle. He permitted himself a small smile. Vernon's fight had been some half century ago, but the ships had changed hardly at all since then. No, he decided. His appointment here at the Admiralty was better than any quarterdeck. He would have his mistress and his elegant London rooms. He would, of course, need to be seen on Sundays in the family pew on his Hampshire estate, with his wife and children. He returned to the ornate table and sat down without enthusiasm. His clerk had placed his papers in order. The clerk's duty was to interrupt him after a prearranged time during each interview. It never stopped. Soon the French would declare war. One could hardly describe this uneasy pause on the fringe of the terror as little better anyway. As always, England would be unprepared. Ships and men. Ships and men. His gaze fell on the name on the uppermost sheet. Richard Blytho, Esquire. It looked much handled, and Drew wished that someone else could take his place today. Richard Blytho, who had distinguished himself in the American Revolution, and a man luckier than most, had held 2 highly successful commands since, the last being the frigate Tempest in the Great South Sea. His final battle with the frigate Narval and supporting schooners had been legendary.